From the Free Press, Spencer Pratt and the Revenge of Angry Angelinos. Plus, it's Monday, May 11. This is The Front Page, your daily window into the world of the Free Press and our take on the world at large. Today, Aiden Stretch breaks down the three-day Russia-Ukraine ceasefire. Will Ron on why Trump's long-awaited UFO files release raises more questions than it answers. Tyler Cohen on why the economy keeps defying expectations. And more. But first, Spencer Pratt is surging. Could he actually win? There's Longshot Outsider, and then there's Spencer Pratt. On January 7, the former star of reality TV show The Hills announced he was running for mayor of Los Angeles. It was a year to the day since he and his parents lost their homes in the Palisades fire, and the anger that had fueled a fight to help local families after the blaze would now be channeled into a bid for the biggest political job in America's second biggest city. At first, his campaign seemed like an interesting sideshow to an all-too-familiar race between unpopular incumbent Karen Bass and the usual cast of Democrats. But in recent weeks, Pratt has emerged as a serious contender, and arguably the most interesting political candidate in the country right now. His campaign videos are going viral. He took the debate stage by storm last week, and he is rising in the polls and surging in prediction markets. So, can Spencer Pratt really win? And what does it say about Los Angeles and California that the Democratic Party machine is now in a fight with a former reality TV star and registered Republican who was, until recently, happily running a crystal jewelry business with his wife? For answers to those questions, we turn to Peter Savidnik. He spoke to Pratt and the other movers and shakers in LA politics to make sense of Pratt mania and what it says about his hometown. Don't miss his piece. Oliver Weissman-Tehran presented its response to the United States peace proposal this weekend, according to Iranian state media. On Sunday, Trump said the proposal was totally unacceptable without offering further details. The back and forth comes as scattered attacks across the Middle East cast doubt on the temporary ceasefire. On Saturday, Secretary of State Marco Rubio and White House Envoy Steve Witkoff met with Qatari Prime Minister Mohammed bin Abdulrahman Al Thani in Miami to discuss an end to the war with Iran. In a statement, House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries DNY said that his party plans to fight the decision no matter what it takes. For more on the redistricting wars, read Charles Lane's Virginia Failed the Basic Test of Our Democracy. President Trump is set to meet with China's leader, Xi Jinping, in Beijing this week. The meeting was unexpected, as Al Thani was supposed to return to Doha after meeting with Vice President J.D. Vance in Washington on Friday. Virginia Democrats are launching an appeal to the U.S. Supreme Court after the state Supreme Court struck down their redistricting plan on Friday. The two-day summit will begin Thursday, where the two world leaders will discuss the war in Iran, trade policy, Taiwan, and more. The MV Hondius cruise ship began its evacuation process in Spain's Canary Islands on Sunday after suffering a hantavirus outbreak on board. The ship carried about 150 passengers and crew, three of whom died from the deadly virus. For more on this, read Jillian Letterman's Nothing Can Sink the Cruise Ship. New data from 67 major U.S. law enforcement agencies show violent crime rates plunging across major categories in many of America's biggest cities. The new numbers add to a sustained national decline in violent crime since the end of the COVID-19 pandemic.